Forward Momentum.
Forward Momentum presents Sea of Stars, Odyssey.
The Earth, the core of the Solar Federation, has known an extended period of peace and prosperity. But now, tensions with the neighboring Galman Empire threaten to pull the galaxy inexorably into war. With the approaching death of the Galman Emperor Deslok, the Federation has dispatched a diplomatic mission to Galmania, throne world of the Empire. At Deslok's request, the delegation travels aboard the space battleship Argo. Having launched from a repair and refit facility on Earth's surface, the Argo has just left the atmosphere.
You're clear of Earth's orbital zone, trimming control surfaces for spaceflight.
Chief Engineer, what's our status?
We stand ready for warp.
Very good. Thea, begin preparations for a warp to the Jupiter Belt. You've got a half hour.
Yes, Captain.
Attention, crew of the Argo. This is the Captain. In approximately 30 minutes, the ship will make its initial warp to the Jupiter Belt. Secure all non-essential duty stations and take maximum precautions. Report to your section chiefs when preparations are complete. That is all. XO, you have the bridge. I'm going to check on our passengers.
Aye, Captain.
The diplomatic personnel have been assigned quarters aboard the Argo, which would usually be reserved for visiting officers. A connecting suite of rooms, luxurious by the standards of the military. Nonetheless, Madeline Venture braces herself for criticism, as she is announced at the suite's door.
Ah, Captain. I was hoping to have a moment of your time.
Ambassador Sheridan, how can I help you?
You can start by explaining how we're supposed to function in these cells.
Senator Lane, these are the best rooms available. I understand you will need more space once we arrive at Galmania. A larger observation room has been set aside to function as a reception and conference hall.
I suppose that'll be acceptable.
Were you gentlemen briefed on warp procedure?
Oh my, yes. I was a space marine in my day. I've been through dozens of them before. I'll keep those two in mind.
Thank you, Ambassador. Speaking of, where is Mr. Morgan?
Edward, yes. He said he needed to stretch his legs, so he took one of our security escorts as a guide. He should be back soon.
I see. Well, I need to return to my duties. Good day, Ambassador.
We left Earth ahead of schedule. We should be warping to the Jupiter area in the next few minutes.
That is unfortunate, but not unexpected.
Excuse me. I must return before I'm missed.
Kine, as I recall, you have forces in that area.
Yes, an advanced reconnaissance squadron. They were deployed to the Jupist Belt to intercept a Terran explorer ship. A test of our new forces under combat conditions.
Then our problem is solved. They can eliminate the Argo with ease.
If your technomancy works as you claim.
That was why we chose a lesser armed opponent.
It is of no moment. Our gifts will function. Should the Argo choose to intervene, it will share the target's fate.
And what of our young friend aboard the Argo?
He's Terran. He's no friend of mine.
From the personal journals of David Erickson, chief engineer aboard the Argo.
Oh, I'm amazed that this ship is spaceworthy sometimes. It was such a rush job getting her ready for this mission that I just know we must have missed something. Ugh, don't get me wrong, the crew has done an amazing job. We've been over the checklists and the procedures multiple times just to make sure. Well, the book says she's ready to fly, no matter what my gut says. But this ship is, well, it's ancient. I mean, half the technology inside her is no longer in use, and the half that's current doesn't really play well with the older stuff. She's been repaired and patched dozens of times, which is more than any proper engineer should ever be comfortable with. You know, when I got my first post in the Navy, I remember my old man took me to one side and he gave me the advice that his dad gave him before and his dad before that. He said, listen to your instincts, son, and listen to your ship. She'll tell you she's hurting long before any diagnostic or sensor will. I don't know. Maybe that's the issue. The Argo's trying to tell me something, and I'm not speaking her language.
Aboard the Argo, the tension builds as the ship prepares to undertake its first space warp. A maneuver that, if successful, will take the ship to the asteroid belt that is all that remains of the planet Jupiter.
Captain Venture, all preparations are completed. The ship is ready.
Very good, Mr. Montgomery. Mr. Jacobs?
Captain?
At your discretion, Stephen.
Aye, Captain. Chief Engineer, begin energy buildup for warp.
Engine room! Build charge in a wave motion engine.
Engine output increasing. Within established performance curve, give me a course verification.
Course clear of all obstacles.
Radar?
Concur. Course is clear.
Time-space distortion around the Argo is rising. Approaching event horizon.
Engine output in sync. Countdown is starting. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Warp!
Warp!
And with that, the mighty wave motion engine takes hold of multidimensional space and twists, finding the seam and hurtling the Argo through the gap into space between existences. The journey is not an easy one. Time is no longer a simple progression of cause and effect. Matter becomes something else. Everything the ship and crew experience assaults their minds, leaving them overwhelmed and, in many cases, unconscious. As the ship returns to our universe, they lay stunned, slowly drawn back to alertness by the pinging of ship's sensors.
Exo. Montgomery, report.
Warp completed. Assessing ship's status now.
ECS charge at only 18%.
We arrived from warp approximately 600 megameters out of intended destination.
Wait, what? Why are you all so bright and chipper?
Focus, Stephen.
Report. What happened?
A sudden ECS power drain was detected just as the ship entered warp. Cause unknown. Emergency measures were enacted and the ship was removed from warp at earliest opportunity.
Lovely. David?
I'm already on it, Captain.
Hours pass as the Argo is repaired. It is slow and tedious work as the ship's power grid is examined at a meticulous level. His duty shift over for now, Cade Morgan has gone to the ship's mess.
Excuse me, Lieutenant Morgan?
Oh, hello, Lieutenant Haltz. Please, sit down.
Thank you. I just wanted to say earlier, during the launch...
Yes?
I'm sorry. I was very brisk with you. About that issue with the launch sequence? I do that sometimes. It's a failing in my personality that I'm trying to correct. I'm sorry.
Don't worry about it. I made the mistake.
I do worry about it, Lieutenant Morgan. Because as bridge officers, we have to work in close concert, and interpersonal friction can negatively affect the performance of our duties.
An error only becomes a mistake if you fail to learn from it.
Excuse me?
It's something my brother says all the time. I know I'll never make that mistake with the defense grid again, and you've apologized to make sure there's no, what did you call it? Interpersonal friction?
Yes. Thank you, Lieutenant.
Cade.
Cade. Thea. Your brother sounds like a wise man.
He is, but don't tell him I said so. He's actually on board, you know.
He is?
Yeah, he's with the Office of Economic Development back home. They sent him along as part of the diplomatic team. I remember my dad saying...
What?
Sorry, we lost our parents a few years ago. Shuttle accident.
I'm so sorry. I lost my mother quite some time ago. I know the pain of suddenly remembering that they're gone.
Yeah, I sort of shut down when they died. Almost got booted out of the academy, in fact. If Edward hadn't pulled me out of it, well, let's just say I wouldn't be here. I owe him a lot.
But don't tell him you said so.
Oh, heck no. I'd never live it down. One time, I remember Edward came home with this special award.
Hours later, repair crews contact the chief engineer on the main bridge.
Chief, we found the problem. There's good news and bad news.
Bad news first.
We can't fix it without taking the main ECS circuit offline. We've got a length of bad conduction cable. Power spikes are cascading through the whole system.
Great. What's the good news?
We can rig a replacement so that the engine and life support won't be affected. But until we can dock the ship for a while...
Periodic random power issues. Why didn't we catch this before launch?
The cable in question burned out during the power buildup for the warp. It scanned fine during refit. It was logged in the refit checklist by crewman Haruna.
Right. Stand by. Captain?
I heard. If we put the patch in place, will it affect our ability to warp?
No, we'll be fully warp capable.
But it sounds like other systems may be affected?
Yes, sir. To fix it properly, we're looking at least 48 hours offline.
We're already on a clock. All right, have your crews make the patch. We can do a full repair once we reach Gallman.
Yes, Captain.
But, Senator, the bridge is restricted.
Get out of my way, young man, or you'll be peeling potatoes on Pluto with a knife dull enough to sit on for the rest of your miserable career.
Senator Lane, the bridge is off limits to civilians.
Captain Venture, we were given to believe this antique was spaceworthy. What the blazes is going on up here?
Senator.
Captain, receiving a signal over Salford emergency frequencies.
What? On speakers, Pulsar.
This is the Explorer vessel Aldrin. We are under attack by unknown ships. Our shields are failing. We are unable to warp. Please, any ships in the area? We need help!
Pulsar, location of the signal.
Bearing 16 by 9, distance 1200 megameters.
Captain Venture, you aren't seriously considering.
You're damn right I am. Navigation, make best speed for those coordinates.
Changing course, aye.
Combat sound battle stations.
Red alert, all hands to battle stations, all hands to battle stations. Set condition 1 throughout the ship. Black Tigers, prepare to launch.
Captain. We are on a vital diplomatic mission. You yourself said...
Mr. Montgomery, please clear the bridge of civilians. If the senator resists, throw him in the brig and toss the key out in airlock.
Very well. I'm going.
Captain, forgive the breach of protocol, but he does have a point.
Naval code, Mr. Montgomery. We are required to render aid to any Federation vessel in trouble, are we not?
Yes, Captain.
Stephen, time to intercept?
6 minutes, Captain.
At optimum range, launch the fighters. Charge main guns.
Solar Federation Explorer vessels are long, tapering cities in space. Designed to explore the great unknown regions of the galaxy, they leave known space for months, often years at a time. While not totally unarmed, they are no match for a squadron of proper combat vessels, such as the group of lean, shark-like ships that swarm around the immense Explorer, like a pack of jackals trying to bring down an elephant. As the Argo nears the combat zone, preparations to fight are frantically completed. Crew race to ready the ship's formidable arsenal. Cannons are primed, missiles are armed. Down in her fighter bay...
Chief, the alert fighters are at the gate. The next ranks are ready for launch.
Roger, Haruna. Opening launch gate.
A long section of hull forward of the third bridge swings down like a gaping maw, and the magnetic rails of a linear catapult extend. One after another, the catapult fires black tigers into the void. In all, 29 Sandor Aerospace 117 Falcons rocket into the night, joined a moment later by their flight leader, Kinu Ogawa, in her O1A-0 interceptor.
Ready to go to work, Zero?
Systems at maximum combat effectiveness.
That's my girl. All right, Alpha Flight. You screen the Explorer ship. Beta, split into elements and swarm the attackers. Charlie, you're in reserve. Oh, and for pity's sake, please stay out of the Argo's firing solution. Black Tigers, hit them!
Aboard the Argo herself, more detailed battle data begins to arrive.
I show 5 attacking craft. Unknown configuration.
Not good enough, Radar. Identify them at once.
Craft are approximately destroyer class. The warbook has no match for the specific design.
Their basic configurations read like Gullman vessels.
Mystery and confusion. Captain, the attacking ships are beaming highly complex signals between each other and out into space. It doesn't match any known Gullman encryption, and it's far too complex for ordinary battle data.
Worry about it later. For now, target the nearest attacker. Main guns, prepare to fire.
Captain, power loss at all main turrets.
Not now, dammit.
Hostile vessels are breaking off from the Aldrin and moving to engage us.
Increase defensive fire and get the primaries back online.
Aye, Cap. Ma'am, the secondary cannons can be loaded with Type 90 shells.
Right. Make all preparations. Mr. Montgomery, how are we holding up?
Defensive screen's holding at 60%, sir. I'm monitoring ECS connections for any anomalies.
Secondary cannons, ready to fire.
Fire!
Direct hit. Target is listing to port. Now being engaged by the fighters. Target destroyed.
Tiger Lead reports 3 of the remaining targets under heavy engagement.
The 4th is coming about and targeting us!
Secondary cannons reloaded.
Target the final attacker's engines. Try to disable rather than destroy.
Captain?
We can't question a corpse, Mr. Montgomery.
Firing solution complete.
Fire!
Direct hit to target's engines. Their speed is dropping. It looks like we successfully disabled her.
Good shot, Mr. Timms. Pulsar, open a channel.
Channel open, Captain.
This is Captain Madeline Venture of the Solar Federation battleship Argo to attacking craft. Your engines are gone and we have you outnumbered and outgunned. Surrender now and—
Enemy craft is directly targeting our bridge!
Focus shield energy on the con tower. Combat fire at will.
Aye, Captain.
Firing!
The attacking ship hurls fire at the Argo's nerve center, and the explosive rounds of the Earth ship's secondary cannons answer back. Eventually, the enemy fire begins to trickle through the Argo's hastily raised shields, but the hammer blows of the Type 90 shells reduce the attacking craft to debris by the third salvos.
How are the Tigers doing with the other 3?
Argo wants to know how we're doing. Tom?
Making our 4th pass now, Silk. Whoever these guys are, they don't know when to quit. We vented most of his hull to space and scans say he's using reactor containment, but they won't even respond to calls to stand down.
Same story over here. We had to blow one of them to bits already.
Warning. Target vessel's engines in overload.
Hell. Tigers, get clear! Target's primaries are... What kind of raiders fight to the last breath?
All enemy ships destroyed!
Sky is clear.
Ship status?
Shields down to 4%. Recharge time estimated at 7 hours.
Anti-air defense grid down to 48% efficiency.
Dr. Grigorov reports no casualties amongst the crew. The Tigers report several ships with minor to moderate damage. They are requesting return and resupply.
Granted. Addy, does it look like any of the enemy ships left pieces worth salvaging?
Yes, Captain. Reading significant debris.
I'm showing energy buildup in the debris field.
The words are barely out of Thea Holtz's mouth before explosions again light up the space around the Argo. Flare after flare as the enemy debris explodes. When it is over, little more than dust remains. Dust and questions.
Been listening to Sea of Stars, Odyssey, Episode 3, a Forward Momentum production, based on the anime Uchu Senkan Yamato, created by Yoshinobu Nishizaki and Leiji Matsumoto, and Star Blazers, which is copyright Voyager Entertainment. Heard in this episode were Jessica Osborne as Madeline Venture, James Baylog as Cade Morgan, Alex Tran as Thea Holtz, The Hamerton as Stephen Jacobs, Shannon Hobby as Addie Beaumont, James Cleveland as Pulsar, Stay Holland as David Erickson, Coor as Reginald Montgomery, Carly Walker as Susan Haruna, Alex Alesperu as Tommy Harrison, Taylor Carlson as Kinu Ogawa, Jeff Ashbury as Ambassador Sheridan, Matt Sego as Senator Lane, Brandy Kirkpatrick as The Aldrin, Jeremy Smith Sebasto as The Engineer, Sean Benveniste as The Argo Crewman, and Finn M.K., Thomas Drake, Leo Griffiths, and Josh Lambright as The Conspirators. This is Kyle Akers. The episode was written and directed by Devin Cox. Music for the series comes primarily from the soundtracks of the anime Uchu Senkan Yamato 2199, based on themes composed by Hiroshi Miyagawa and Kentaro Haneda, as well as new works composed by Akira Miyagawa. Series-specific sound effects were drawn from the Quest for Iskandar and Comet Empire DVD box sets, as well as the Sound Fantasia Yamato CD. Sea of Stars Odyssey is a non-profit fan production, produced for the enjoyment of the fan. All rights to Star Blazers, Uchu Senkan Yamato, or any other copyrighted works mentioned or inferred herein, including any unoriginal music and sound effects, remain the property of their rights holders. No infringing claims are intended.
A mysterious attack leaves the Star Force in confusion and doubt. But as the ship is repaired, the mission must press on, and a fateful encounter in space delivers the Argo deep into the center of the Galman Empire and their overwhelming military might. Next time on Sea of Stars Odyssey, Episode 4, The Gathering Storm. The longest of journeys begins with but a single step.